Hey there, and welcome to the Crossroads Church Podcast, your place for weekly sermons, church updates, and more. You're currently tuning into our weekly sermon cast, so grab a pen and notebook or get your notes app ready, and let's dive right into it.
All right, today we're continuing on, as Josh mentioned, in our series, You Asked For It. Easter Sunday, we asked over 1,000 people to respond. We had stacks of cards on what you'd like to hear about. And so for the last couple weeks, we've been addressing some of those things through the Word of God. And so today, we're going to talk about the third most requested topic was about current events and how those play into, what's going on, right? What is going on in the world? Do you ever ask that question? What is going on in the world? And are these the last days? You know, we see pestilence or viruses. We see natural disasters happening, earthquakes in different places, nuclear war threats, wars, rumors of wars, different earthquakes, just tsunamis, you name it. A lot of unrest, a lot of different things that are going on in the world. So today, what's the Bible got to say about that? You know, does the Bible have anything to say about those kinds of things? I believe the Bible has a lot to say about it, as a matter of fact. As far as prophecy goes in your Bible that you have in your hand, that Bible, one out of 30 verses, I think they're going to put this on the screen, are about prophecy in the Bible. And 23 out of 27 New Testament books, we call them, or the writings of each, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all those, there's 27 of them in the New Testament. 23 of them mention the end of time, and talk about it. And so there's a lot in the Bible about the last days, but it's not always easy to understand, is it? Maybe some of you have tried to, you know, decipher some things, maybe read the book of Revelation and try to figure out everything. And so some things are a little complicated. And I learned this in Bible school, that some of that is because when prophecy happened and people could see into the future, sometimes it was near future, and then other times it was long term or far future. And so when we're reading that, sometimes we don't know and we can't understand which it is. You know, is this something that already happened, or is this something that's yet to happen? And sometimes the answer is yes, because the prophet was actually seeing both near and far when they were talking about. And in one regard, just an example, would be when the Bible talks about, we'll see some scripture here in a minute, the day of the Lord. And sometimes when the scripture says the day of the Lord, it's talking about when Jesus returns. And other times it's talking about in that day of the Lord when he rules and reigns, not just his return and capturing of his church, which we call, or maybe you grew up hearing the word rapture, but it could be about after the rapture. And then in one regard, the day of the Lord started when Jesus came out of the tomb, right? When Jesus came out of the tomb, everything changed. Come on, somebody. Everything changed, because now all of a sudden, all your sin was paid for once and for all by one perfect sacrifice, not a lamb from you, but a lamb from God for you, that took all your sin upon himself, died with it on the cross, paid in full. It is finished. It's over. My debt is paid. And that's awesome, because now today, if you haven't received that perfect sacrifice, you can do that. And it's the day of the Lord for you, because God in his power comes into your life. And so today what I want to do is just overview this topic, this huge topic of prophecy and what the scriptures have to say about it. Now, if you want to study more and you want to look into this more, we have a resource called Right Now Media. And I've mentioned this before, but we pay for this as a church. So this is provided to you, and what they told us, we just pay one fee, and then anybody and everybody in the church can sign up for it and access all the videos, all the stuff that Right Now Media has. You can download the app on your phone and use it free of charge. You're welcome, okay? Because the church, your church, so you already paid for it, really, if you gave in last week's offering. You already paid for it, and so you get to do that, and you get to access all of the good teachings that are available through that. So if that's of interest to you, you can do it, because it can get confusing, and sometimes people misread or misrepresent things. I heard about a pastor and a priest who were out by the side of the road, and they were pounding a sign into the dirt there next to the road, and it said, "The end is near. Turn around now." And as they were pounding that sign in, a hot rod guy came by and he rolled down his window and he says, "Shut up, you religious fanatics. Leave us alone." And he sped around the corner, and then they heard squalling tires and a big splash. And the pastor looked to the priest and he says, "Maybe we should have made the sign say, 'The bridge is out ahead.'" Might have been clearer, okay? So sometimes when you read scripture, you're reading especially prophecy and you're trying to figure, sort things out, sometimes it can be confusing, but there's other things that are absolutely clear. And I want to look at a very clear passage of scripture that Matthew records for us. He heard Jesus actually say these words in his presence as he was a follower of Jesus. And so he wrote these down for us. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. Here's what Matthew says it was like. Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives. And the disciples came to him privately, and here's what they said. "Tell us when." Everybody say when. Because isn't that what you want to know? Like, when is it going to happen? And that's what they wanted to know. When. "And what?" Everybody say what. "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered, "Watch out, that no one deceives you." So, in other words, there must be an easy way for people to get deceived, for people to get confused. That there's a possibility, at least, Jesus says, that you should watch for, because you could get off track when it comes to the last days. "For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed." I want every Christ follower in this building today, anybody watching online, to understand when you see the last days beginning to happen, when you see signs, when you see stuff happen, what are you supposed to do? Freak out? No, you're not supposed to be alarmed. That's what Jesus says. "Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various and sundry different places of the world. All these are the beginning of birth pains." Now, I have not experienced birth pains. Thank you, Jesus, right? Let all the men say a big amen, right? But, and I know ladies have, but I have not experienced even firsthand because Rochelle, when she gave birth to our daughter, she did a scheduled C-section, so it's more like being involved in a surgery situation, which was a longer recovery and things like that. But we didn't go through those birth pangs, but I do own a TV, and I have seen some movies and depictions of birth, how it happens, and it looks like it gets intense, and that it gets painful, and that it gets more painful and more advanced as the birth is about to happen. Can I get an amen from some of the ladies today, all right? Like, that's when you slapped your husband or whatever it was, you know, when you lost it. And so they get closer together, and they get more intense. So if Jesus purposefully picked that as a picture of what's going to happen, maybe the signs of his coming are going to get closer together and more intense as it gets ready to happen. So maybe, I don't think I'm reading too much into it to say that. And see, he says, that's just the beginning of birth pains. And then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And I want you to know that more people are martyred today than ever in the history of the world for being a Christ follower than any other time. Okay, you're not hearing me. More people today will die. In this year of 2023, more people will die for being a follower of Jesus than ever in the history of the world. Okay, so like I was at lunch this week with some pastors, and one of the pastors said, we need to pray for one of our missionaries because he just got interrogated for several hours, and they took his passport, and they don't know what they're going to do with him and what might become of him and everything because of this, and so we need to pray. And that's a real story. So while you're wondering where you're going to eat lunch today, and you're wondering about, you know, your life and that new app on your phone's not working right and whatever else, I want you to know people are dying for the cause of Jesus today. Do you understand me? So just understand that what Jesus said is coming to pass, okay? And you need to be praying for our missionaries and all missionaries all the time because it's a very real thing. So you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. We'll talk about that in a moment. And betray and hate each other. And there'll be many false prophets that appear and deceive many people. There's going to be a lot of deception, a lot of fog out there, a lot of confusion. Because of the increase of wickedness, and we'll come back to that statement, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end, I wonder how many in this CFAM today are determined. It doesn't make any difference what the devil throws my way. It doesn't make any difference if everybody in my family loses their faith. If everybody walks away from God, I want to let the devil know today, I will never deny his name. I'm going to stay true to the end. Are you that way? Because those who stand firm to the end, Jesus says, will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then, somebody say then. Then the end will come. But see, we want to know when. We want to know what. And it's funny because Jesus didn't answer their question, really. He didn't give them a date. And I want you to know that I've read the Bible a lot, okay? I started reading the Bible through when I was a teenager. So it's been a minute. I've read the Bible a lot. And I have no clue when Jesus is coming back. Okay? No clue. I don't know. I think it could be soon. I think it could be today. But I don't know. And it seems like we're getting close. Because especially when Jesus says every ethos, every people group, I want everybody preached to. I want to get it all over the whole world. And by satellite technology today, everybody can access and everybody with a smartphone can download the YouVersion Bible app, and over a half a billion people have downloaded just that one Bible app on their device. And by 2030, I'm told that every dialect of the world will have the Bible translated in their language. Pastor Craig, are you saying that 2030 is when Jesus is going to come back? No. I think he could come back in the next 20, 30 minutes. Right? He doesn't have to wait for that. I'm just saying it's a possibility. And I'm saying that the gospel is getting preached all over the world already in one way. And I'm saying that there is persecution like never before. And there are some of these things happening, but we still want to know when. And Peter comes along. Okay, do you know who Peter is? Peter is like Jesus is here and Peter is here, all right? And John is like right here, and both of them trying to get closer to Jesus than the other one, all right? Like, I'm closer. No, you're not, I'm closer. So anyway, it's fun, the Bible's fun. And so you'll see that if you'll read it, all right? And Peter, who was real close to Jesus, has a lot to say about the last days. And here's one of the things he says. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers are going to come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And they'll say stuff like this: where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But, Peter says, they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. He's talking about the flood that science says happened on the planet. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved not for flood this time, but for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. He's talking to church people now. Do not forget this. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. I mean, when you're living forever, what's time? That's what he says. He says, you know, we're like concerned because we think we only have that much. But when you are looking at all of it, it changes your perspective. And he says, so the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise of coming, as some understand slowness. Because don't you sometimes think, Lord, would you just get here now? Anybody honest enough to say I pray that sometimes? You know, like, today would be good. Like, right now. And But the Lord's not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. Instead, here's what he is. He's patient. How many are glad that your God is patient with you, right? You just praise him for a little bit right there, right? Just have a praise breakdown, some of you. Not wanting, here's what he's really the most patient about, and I love this about God. He's very patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone, somebody say everyone, everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, there it is, will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. I want you to see that God is patient. He's waiting, maybe for somebody in this room to come to know him today. Maybe somebody online. He's waiting for you. He's waiting. He's patiently waiting. Because he really wants, here's what he really wants, not everybody will, but he really wishes that everyone would come to know him. That's his heart. He says, even the ones that deny me, even the ones that say, I don't know, I don't think he's ever coming, I don't know that he even exists and whatever. He says, oh, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to turn around. He's waiting for everyone possible to come to know him. So, that sets us up for when, right? Still, we have the question, can we really know these birth pains? Can we really know that we're about to see the birth of a new creation, as the scripture calls it? I want to give you a few last day signs today, all right? Some last day signs that scripture says that people will be like. Here's the first one, if you want to write this down, is preoccupied people. They'll be preoccupied people. There'll be people, Jesus said, that they're distracted with life. Oh, man, they'll just have a lot going on. And they'll kind of scoff and say, I don't know, you know, like Peter said, when he's ever going to come. I don't know that he is ever going to come. And as a result, they'll be their own God. And I just want to say to somebody that's like, you know, okay, when is he coming? Is he coming? What's the deal? You know, what about the last days? I want to say to you, as far as the last days go, you are living in your last days. You are living in your last days. And you don't know, really, when your last day is going to be. There are a lot of people who thought they had at least 50 more years of days. And they didn't. They didn't know it. And so the scripture says, we just don't know when our last day is going to be, but you are living in your last days. And so here's what we need to do. As a result, we need to, instead of being preoccupied, we need to occupy. And here's where I get that from. In Luke chapter 19, I think it is, and verse 13, Jesus is telling a story, and Jesus loved to tell stories. And in one story he told, he says, the master went away, and he gave a boatload of money to all of his followers, all of his people. And he says, now I want you all to know, I'm going away, but I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm going to see how you did. And so he went away. And Jesus tells the story. When he came back, some of them didn't do anything. They've been blessed with all of this from the master. And they didn't do anything with it. And the master was disturbed by those people. But the people who did something with what they had been gifted, Here's what he said to them. Hey, come on in. And as a matter of fact, you've done so well. You can read the story later. He says, you've done so well. I'm going to put you in charge of cities in my kingdom. I'm going to put you in charge of cities in my kingdom that's coming. And so Jesus shows this depiction, but in verse 13, in the King James Version that I grew up hearing, it says this word, and I looked to see, you know, what all variations of it there were, and a lot of people translate it being busy and doing work and different things. But Jesus says in the KJV, he says, occupy. Occupy until I come. And the reason why I like that is because it's so different from being preoccupied, which would describe much of our culture. Hello? Preoccupied. Anybody tried to talk to somebody lately while they were texting? They didn't hear a word? And Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to occupy till I come. And so I was thinking and I was meditating. I was prayerfully thinking about the word occupy. And I was thinking about it in military terms. You know, some of you served in the military. And one of the military terms is occupied territory, right? And if it's occupied territory, then it's like, ooh, be careful. Because that's enemy occupied. That's occupied territory. And the other word that you can get from this, if you do a direct translation from this, is he was saying to his servants, do my business while I'm away from my business. And so when Jesus is telling this story, here's what he's telling his people. He's saying, I want you to get about the business. What is the business? Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I wonder how many of us this week were busy. You know, have you ever talked to somebody and you say, how you doing? Oh, I'm busy. It's one of our favorite things to say, right? But I wonder if you were busy about the Father's business this week. Ooh, it got quiet in the other service too, just so you know, just being fair here. Jesus said, I'm coming back. I'm giving you all these gifts and abilities and all of this, and I'm going to leave. But then I'm going to come back and see how you did with it. And we must be about the Father's. I was thinking about this occupied territory too. And I was thinking about Jesus is saying, hey, occupy till I come. Wouldn't it be something if the devil thought, you better not go into Hendricks County because there's a bunch of Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking, prayer-walking, whatever people in Hendricks County, and you better stay out of there. I'm telling you, demon, get back. Get back. It's occupied territory over there. Maybe that's what Jesus is telling his church. He's telling, no, you don't give the devil over to, you don't give Hendricks County over to the devil. You don't give him the territory. You take the territory. And you serve notice on him that this territory is occupied. Come on, somebody. Let's get about the Father's business. Because Jesus also said, and another thing about this way, well, you got to be busy, is because it's going to be like Noah's day. Noah's day, they were partying. And Jesus describes it. He says they were eating and they were drinking and they were partying and they were just having a great time. They thought. And there was this goofy guy who wouldn't walk to the beat of the culture. See, everybody in the culture, we're all doing this. But this Noah guy building a boat, whatever that is. And he's busy. But he's so busy on that that he won't come over and party with us. I don't get that guy. I don't understand him, Jesus said. But he says, oh, but one day, everybody say one day. One day, God shut the door. God shut it. And everybody on the outside couldn't get inside. They were lost at that moment. And Jesus says, that's what it's going to be like. He says, what's going to happen is it's going to be like the door slams. And some people are going to be inside and some people are going to be outside. And I'm waiting, I'm hoping that everybody get in, but not everybody's going to get in. So what you've got to be about is while I'm gone, you need to occupy the territory. Come on, somebody. You need to, as a church, get involved. You need to give to missions. You need to be missions. You need to reach out and touch somebody with what's touched you. You need to change lives around you. And Timothy, it's recorded, Paul, one of his very last writings, perhaps his very last writing, most feel. He said to Timothy, but mark this, 2 Timothy 3:1. There will be terrible times in the last days. Let me tell you something, Christian. Let me just tell everybody, whether you're a Christian or you're not Christian. Terrible times are in the forecast. What's the 10-day forecast? It's terrible. The 10-year forecast is worse, okay? There'll be terrible times forecasted in the last days, according to your Bible. People will be lovers of themselfies. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous. Can somebody say Twitter? Or X or whatever it is now. Facebook. Without self-control. Brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Oh, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. But denying its transforming resurrection power in their own lives. Have nothing to do with such people. Here's another group of people, all right? Let's get the next one. Forgetful people. There'll be forgetful people. There'll be people who forget about the power of God. There'll be people who forget, oh yeah, Jesus is coming back any day. There'll be a generation who will pull back from God. Now, this is incredible because I want to compare this to another prophecy that the scriptures say that in the last days, and this one's repeated twice. This prophecy is so powerful. God put it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And I want somebody to know today that if you'll travel the world, here's what you'll discover. If you go to South America, if you go to Africa, the church is on fire. If you go underground in China, you'll understand the church is growing and no government, no army, no dictator can stop it. I want you to know that all over, there's revival all over the world. But what about here? What about America where we live? What's that look like? I want them to pull up a Barna Research, pull it up for me, those stats. The percentage of biblical worldview by generation. These are people who watch CNN through the lens of their Bible. Okay? They watch the news. They watch it through the lens of their Bible. 10% of baby boomers say, I do that. When it comes to Gen X, 7%. When it comes to millennials, 6%. Anybody picking up on trend? Gen Z, 4%. 96% say, I don't know what the Bible says. I don't have a clue what the Bible talks about. I just know what's on my app right now. I just know what somebody posted. That's all I know. And here's what I want to say about that. This is why kids ministry and youth ministry are so important to this church, all right? This is why we have got to reach the next generation. And I want to say this, it's not their fault. It's your fault. It's my fault if we haven't taught them right, if we haven't reared them right. How? It's not their fault if they don't understand the Word of God. How much did you tell them about it and teach them about it? And that's what all of our kids' ministry and our student ministry is all about. I'm telling you, we ought to give as much as we can. We ought to serve as much as we can to reach the next generation for God. We ought to have lights. We ought to have smoke. We ought to have lasers. We ought to have bigger speakers and bigger subwoofers and whatever. And if it takes some of that to reach somebody, I don't care if you don't like it or not. It ain't about you. You've already been reached. And it's not about you. It's about them. I love some of the beyond boomers in this church who get up and worship and praise God, and it's not the music you grew up with. And sometimes thank Jesus for that, because some of it was weird and different and whatever. I'm just being honest, all right? But I'm just thankful today that we're not going to let this next generation, come on, church. We're not going to let them go to hell. We're not going to let them lose out. We're going to teach them God's word and what his word has to say. And let me tell you something, if we don't, it'll be a different America in 10, 20 more years. Yeah, because Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, there's going to be an increase of wickedness. Increase of wickedness. And just real quick, this just reminds me of my Grandma White. Okay, Grandma White lived till she was in her 90s on her own. And it's my dad's mom. And so we called her Grandma White. She's from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Shout out to all the UK people. All right. So she's from Kentucky. And we go, and Rochelle and I'd visit her when she way up there, 90 or whatever, and go to her house and take her some little gift. And she said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, sweet, wasn't it? Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then she said something, and I just kind of... She said, I'm telling you, one of these days, they're just going to be walking around naked. And I was like, oh, Grandma White, you know. I didn't say anything, but I thought, no. She was right. She was right. I saw a video. I saw where in June, in a city in the United States, there were a bunch of dudes riding bicycles naked in a parade, and they didn't get arrested. And I'm like, what? First of all, that's got to be uncomfortable. But I just had to say that. But anyway. Yeah, why would you do that? But But then also on the White House lawn, people took selfies with their clothes off. And so Jesus said, hey, get ready. In the last days, you're going to see an increase. And here's what I want to say about that, and then I'm going to move on, is when we forget who God is, we forget who we are too. See, we've got an identity crisis in our nation, and the identity is because we're looking for it in all the wrong places. And we need to let our Creator, who made us, who made the heavens and the earth, come on, somebody, He knows who you are. He knows how He made you. He knows how He formed you. He says, I even knew you in the womb. I knew you before anybody else. I've called you by my name. I know who you are and what you need to be. So we got to get back to that. So here's the third kind of people, and I got to teach this one faster. It's unprepared people. Unprepared people. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 40. He said, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other one will be left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, and one will be taken and the other one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know. You don't know. And if somebody says they do know, get away from them. They don't know on what day your Lord will come, because Jesus said you don't know. So don't think you're so smart or whatever. You're not. Jesus said you don't know. It's just going to happen. It's going to be quick. It's going to be immediate. And there's going to be some people who are unprepared. And I want you, church, I want you, Crossroads Church, I want you, CFAM, to be prepared. That's what today's all about. Be prepared. Get ready, because Jesus is coming. In 2 Peter 3:10, He's coming like a thief. And so if you want to chart things and get out a big thing on your wall in your living room and chart out who the Antichrist is and when Jesus is going to return and whatever, and you got this big chart going and whatever, I'm just telling you, write it in pencil. Because it can change, all right? And here's what's most important. You don't need to know what time Jesus is coming. You need to know what to do with the time you do have, all right? That's what's important. And in 1 Chronicles 12:32, there were a group of people, men from Issachar, that it says they could discern the times. They discerned the times, and they knew what Israel needed to do. And that's what I want you to see today. As we discern the times and what's going on in our world, what should I be doing? What should the church be doing? This is how we should live. 2 Peter 3:1 says it like this. I've written to you reminders to hold your minds in a state of undistracted attention. Okay, the culture's distracted, but you're not as a Christ follower. And here's what you do. You got to get last day thinking. Let me give you three things and then we're going to wrap this up. The first one is you got to think clearly. You got to think clearly. You got to be focused today. You got to get rid of mental clutter. How many know there's a lot of clutter out there? How many remember when the only mail you got came in your tin box out by the street? I remember that. And then there came a day when my computer started talking to me and said, you got mail. You got mail. And then my phone started talking to me. And I started getting instant messages. And now there's just so much clutter and so many voices that want to talk, that want to get into our heads. And this is what we've got to do. 1 Peter 4:7 says, the time is near when all things are going to end, Peter says. So think clearly, control yourselves, and pray. That sounds like a good prescription. All right, so here's what you need to do this week. You need to think clearly. Get some clutter out, mental clutter. Start focusing on the things that are most important and prayer. Start praying. Quit worrying. Start praying. I'm going to talk about stress next week, so that's kind of a precursor to next week, all right? We're going to talk about that. But here's what we got to do. We got to think clearly, people. And here's the second thing. We got to think citizenship, okay? Eternal mindset. Because there's many people who think Jesus is coming, they just don't think it'll be today. And Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they're really enemies of the cross of Christ. They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only," here's what I want you to get a hold of, "only about this life here on earth. But we," okay, he's talking to us now, "but we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them." Come on, somebody with the Botox going today. He's gonna change it into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Listen, I'm proud to be an American. I really am. I'm proud for what this nation has stood for. I'm proud of the evangelism, for one thing, that this nation has done around the world, how we've opened up our pockets and blessed people that we don't even agree with. And there's no nation like that. It's awesome. I love the freedom that I have to be able to preach up here like this, and I don't have to worry about getting incarcerated. And it's because some of you fought and some of you served and whatever. But I want you to know that I'm more concerned about my real citizenship, because my citizenship on my passport says United States, but on my real passport of my soul, of my spirit, of where I'm going to spend eternity, I'm really a citizen of heaven, and I'm just passing through right now. And so the reason why some of you get so stressed out is you forget that. You forget your real passport. You forget where you're really going and how all this is going to wrap up. And somebody used to talk about living in the light of eternity, and I just want them to put up that phrase, because that reminded me this week of how we ought to live. Live in the light of eternity, in light of. In another passage that we don't have time to read, Peter says, "In light of the fact that everything's going to burn up, how should you be living?" Okay, tell us what you really think, Peter, you know? So the reason why you get down is because you're looking down. Let me talk to somebody for just one second right here, all right? Jesus said, when things begin to happen and everything's shaking and everything around you is disturbed, he says, don't look down. Your Savior said, look up. Because that's where I'm coming back from. I'm coming back to receive my own unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Look up. Look up. And he'll set the record straight, by the way, so you can let go of your bitterness today as well. All right, I'm just throwing that in as a bonus. All right, here's the last one. You need to be thinking of others, okay? We got to be thinking of others, because the Master said, I'm going to come back. And I'm going to ask you, what did you do? I gave you all these abilities. I gave you words to speak. I gave you thoughts to think. I gave you influence. I gave you stuff. What did you do with it? And this is where we've got to be making a difference, focused on making a difference in our world. First Peter, again, here's what Peter says about this in verse 10. God has given each of you a gift. He gave all those servants a gift. Every one of them. He didn't miss one of them. From his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then get to speaking. As though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Well, then do it. With all the strength and energy that God supplies, then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Peter says, get busy. You got the ability to run that camera back there? What are you doing sitting there? You got the ability to hold kids' attention and teach them about Jesus? What are you doing in this service? Why aren't you back there? You got the ability to greet people. You got the ability to make people feel welcome. What are you doing? You're not standing at the door. You didn't get here 30 minutes early today. I didn't say that. Peter did. All right? I'm just telling you what he said. He said, get busy. Get busy. Help other people experience what you've already experienced. Find your gift in Growth Track. Get in there. If you haven't been in Growth Track, you don't know where your giftings are, whatever, we can fix it. And then get busy. We got a Dream Team celebration coming up where we're going to honor Dream Team members. And today, by the way, it's the last day to sign up for that. And so you need to get there because we want to honor everybody who serves in this church because we're here to occupy till he comes. We're to serve notice on every demon, every devil of hell. Then no, not in Hendricks County. You better get back over there in Marion County. You better go somewhere else. You better get out of here. We're kicking you out of here. And some of you that live in Marion County, kick him right on over to Hamilton County or wherever else. Get him over there to Ohio or wherever else. You just say, not here, not now, not ever. All right. Be busy. We got to make the most, people, of the time we have. You are living in your last days. You were busy this week. Were you busy with the right thing? Who's on your prayer list? Because a lot of us are about what's gonna happen. When is it gonna happen? It isn't about what or when, it's about who. Who is coming? I want to know him, Paul said, in the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. Somebody wrote over half the New Testament, says, I still don't feel like I know him enough. I want to know him. Church, let's get to know him so well. And that's not only the who to focus on, but who are you reaching? If I told you today, write down the name of the person that you've been reaching out to, you've been praying for already, that you're hoping next Sunday is going to be the Sunday they finally come. They've been saying, well, maybe I'll come and I don't know, and maybe not. This week's not a good week or whatever, but you're praying. You're praying. Think this will be the Sunday to come. Or you're praying that God, this week, let something come up. Something in the break room, something at work, something in the yard while we're talking about stuff. Something at school, while we're in between classes or while we're at lunch. Let something come up where I can talk about you and introduce them to you. Would you have a name? Would you have a name that you could write down? If not, you need one. Because he's patient, and he's patiently waiting for who you're going to reach, who you're going to influence for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, help us today to be about the one that we're to reach, the person that we're to influence, because we know you're waiting. You're waiting on people. You're waiting on those who will come to know you. And so, God, let us be about the Father's business. Let us be busy, but busy about the right thing. Busy about your work. Maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I want to be about the Father's business. When the Father comes back, when he says to Jesus, go ahead, son, go get the family, go get them. On that day when the door slams, when it happens like lightning, when it comes so quick, I want to be caught in the act of sharing my faith, of serving other people. I want to be caught being about the Father's business in my life. How many of you join me in that prayer and you raise your hand today and say, oh yeah, when he comes, I want to be busy. I want to be busy. Father, we thank you that there is coming a day when everything will be set straight. That there is coming a day when all the wrong will be made right and everything will be turned around. But until that day comes, you said, get busy. Get busy. Occupy. Occupy the territory. And so, God, today, as a church, we want to occupy this whole west side of Indianapolis. God, we want to influence this area. God, when we think about it, if we all would just reach one person this week, hundreds of people would be reached. The whole area would be impacted in just 1 week, in just 1 month, in just 1 year. It would be phenomenal what would happen. So God, you've given us the power. You've given us the gifts. Let us be about the business. Maybe you're here today, others of you, and when you think about Jesus coming back in a flash, when you think about how it's going to be just like Noah, where the door is just going to slam shut, when you think about how that one person will be left, you're afraid, maybe you're concerned that it'll be you. And I'm just here to tell you today, it doesn't have to be that way. You can come to know the Father today. He is waiting on you. He's already in his mind forgiven you. He's already done everything. He sent his son to, listen, pay for every sin you've ever done and ever will do. He was the ultimate sacrifice from God. And all the Bible says you need to do is accept that sacrifice. Don't pay for your own sin. Let him pay for it. And today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as payment for your sin, if you would like to have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead come alive inside of you, if you'd like to start really living today through the power of Jesus in your life, would you just raise a hand and say, yes, I want that. I want to know that if Jesus came back today, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. All right, while you're doing that online, just type the word decided in the chat, the word decided, and we're going to be praying for you. As a matter of fact, I want everybody to pray this prayer after me. Just let me lead you in a prayer of commitment to God. Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, to pay for all sin of all time. As of today, I ask that you'd wash my sins away. Give me a new beginning. From this day forward, as much as I know how, I surrender my life to you. Thank you for coming in and making me a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody, let's praise him for those. Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Listen, if you made a commitment to the Lord today, you can make a decision right from where you are. You can just text these next steps right from where you are. But what's great about being in person is you could just go across the hall and say, you know what? I heard about baptism happening next week. I want to do that. And you can go over there and talk to somebody and they'll help you to understand what you need to do so that you can get baptized next Sunday. I want us to stand. I want our prayer partners to come. If you need prayer, listen, for any reason, these folks want to pray for you. But here's what I want to do as we close. Will you get that name in your mind right now? That name that we talked about earlier. That one that you've already invited to church, but they just haven't come yet. That one that you're sowing seeds, you're loving them, but the conversation just hasn't gotten there yet. And you're hoping and praying that it will. Will you get their name right now? Just get their name. And we're going to pray. Father, we lift up these names to you. Some are thinking of a relative right now. Some are thinking of a neighbor. Some are thinking of a coworker. Some are thinking of a fellow student. Some are thinking of someone else that they just randomly met, but they just developed a friendship and just an acquaintance. And now, God, they're an opportunity for us to share the author of life with them. And so, God, we pray this week that we would impact the territory, that we would impact the surroundings, that we would occupy the territory, that we would take this area for the kingdom of God. And Lord, we thank you for what's going to happen as a result. Holy Spirit, draw every person down who needs prayer so that they can get their prayer needs met. We believe for miracles in this house today, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.